Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Corey, have you ever met a woman that you'd say, I would do an Olympic dive into a pool of Legos and hot sauce just to get the opportunity to walk through your fart, my lady?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to skip that topic. I guess I'm doing okay.
Oh, good.
No, I'm not. But, you know, that's what freaking and geeking is for. We're not going to start the show on a down note. We're just going
to... No, we're starting on an up note. I have an email here, Joe.
Okay. What am I doing that for? You're going to read it.
Dear guys, wanted to let you know that my 8-year-old boy gets a kick out of the podcast. He cracks up at Joe's antics, of course.
Yay!
Knows all about no selling jokes, thanks to Corey. Sometimes I take him on the road with me to work. He checks out the occasional Crazy Comics and Stories. Don't fret about foul language. He knows most of the words from his mom and I. If you feel so inclined, perhaps you should say hi to Ronan sometimes. Yes, I named my only son after a Frank Miller comic. One that was a failure when it first came out. So,
Hello Ronan. Whatever you do, keep reading comic books.
It says here, I forgot to mention, Ronan affectionately refers to you guys as the Bozos.
Oh, well, I could live with that. We're all bozos on this bus.
Wait. He's making an obscure reference to a Steve Gerber Defenders comic where he was making fun of 70s self-help groups.
I think I like this kid.
Yeah.
We should probably do a podcast sometime.
Well, I tried to get a guest for the podcast last night.
All right, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to have a beer in his honor.
Ooh, what kind of beer?
Oh, didn't that sound good? I'm telling you, folks, it's like 90 degrees out with a dew point in the tropics. You know that's the one thing about our podcast. We always like to complain about the weather. That's a Minnesota thing. But right now it's 91 degrees. It's sunny. It's a dew point of 64. And basically, for those of you that don't worry about dew points, that's how much humidity or moisture is in the air. The closer it gets to 91, the higher the humidity feels. But that's why you can't go, well, it's only 41% humidity. Yeah, but 60 is down south. If it keeps going up, like it gets into the 70s, that's tropical. That's like swimming in the ocean to us Minnesotans. Fear not, though. Tomorrow we will have thunderstorms, and it'll drop to 77. Degrees, 56 overnight, and we could turn off the air conditioning. Corey, how's your AC working? Are those omnibuses holding their R factor and keeping you nice and cool?
Yes, I moved the portable air conditioner into the kitchen so that it blows into the living room and everything. But Joe, you completely passed over when I said that I tried to get us a guest last night.
I did. That's what I do.
I had a dream in which I was on a long bus trip.
Uh-oh.
And I noticed that sitting on one of the other seats was Johnny Carson.
What? Tucker Carlson?
Johnny Carson.
Oh, very different.
And I said hello, said I was a big fan, asked if I could ask him a few questions. When he said yes, said, can I record this? He also said yes. So I had that going for me, and I asked him a bunch of questions, and I asked if I could put it on the podcast. He said, sure, just remember to plug that I'm going to be, you know, here, and here over the next few weeks. Then I asked him what it was like writing jokes for David Letterman, especially if, you know, he wrote a joke that he thought was great, but the crowd didn't like it. And that's when the part of my brain that knows things put the brakes on this whole thing and said, we didn't find out Johnny Carson wrote for Letterman till he died. And then I wondered who the hell I'd been talking to. And that's when I woke up.
I suspect, had the dream continued, you would have discovered after you got off the bus and waved goodbye that you realized the batteries were dead.
No. I still had the recording. I remember that. I still had the recording. But it's like, I don't know who I've been talking to for the past 20 minutes.
Yeah. So I imagine we get that way after our couple hours of podcasting. What the hell was I talking to?
Now, I feel that way after I talked to you for 15 minutes.
Not all my ads are, or my news is good. I mean, I saw briefly on Bleeding Cool that Marvel Comics canceled all the orders made by comic shops through Diamond on all the collectibles that they listed. 90% of them were omnibuses. And so what they're doing is they're going to make them reorder them through Penguin House, Random House, at less favorable terms. So I reached out to our spy retailer. I don't know if he wants us to identify him or not. And I asked him about that. And he said, what's going on? And he goes, the Marvel money grab begins. Because what it is usually comic shops order their omnibuses anywhere between 40 and 55%, depending on how big they are. Sounds like Penguin's going to offer them at 35%.
Oh.
So what this is going to do, if this is the case. Now, again, this is through Rich Johnson, Bleeding Cool. He basically will report stuff right away, and then later we'll find out, it wasn't necessarily true.
Yeah, then he'll fact check it later.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, like I said, fast news. And nobody has said nothing otherwise. I haven't seen anything about this other than I'm Bleeding Cool.
Wrong.
But, you've seen something?
Yes, I got my previews.
Again, I didn't say
in Marvel wrong. Previews.
I didn't say what I said was wrong. I said I didn't see anything. But you got the previews. I haven't. What's up with that?
Yeah, Marvel previews actually will list. These books are canceled and resolicited. Talk to your comic shop about what you should do. Comic shops, you'll need to order it through the new distributor.
All right. Now, as long as, first of all, what I absolutely hate about Bleeding Cool is all their friggin' ads are like covering content.
I hate about Bleeding Cool. The first is that Rich Johnson does not know how to use a spell check.
No.
Nor does he know how to use a fact check.
I'm trying to. Okay, here we go. So I'm just looking. I'm just going to blather off ones I've got on order. Now, when we say on order, Corey and I order through Discount Comic Book Service. We prepay our books. So we're buying a book that we're not going to get usually for a year or so, maybe?
Sometimes. Most of the time for an omnibus, it's about 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, because they're coming.
Some of them are almost a year.
Yeah, back to last September. So Mighty Thor Omnibus 1, Incredible Hulk, Peter David Omnibus 4. You know how I'm bitching because I missed number 3. Let's see. Avenger X-Men Onslaught, 2 Doctor Strange, X-Men Omnibus 1. My guess that would be a reprint. Avengers 2 by Jason Aaron. I don't think I've got that in comic book form, so I didn't order it. So Marvel Masterworks, Marvel 2-in-1. Kilraven Epic Collection, so it is affecting some of the non-omnibuses. Some of the regular ones, like Ms. Marvel. The question I have, Captain Britain Omnibus, that was one I think Corey and I both ordered. At least I ordered it. We haven't heard from our retailer if they're going to cancel it and then reorder it. Which is fine, but again, that's a lot of money we've got tied up in books that now we're not going to get, and now we may not get. Because I don't even know. Well, I suppose if you're a retailer and you want Marvel, you're going to have to go through Penguin House. Sorry, but you'd think I'm reading Deathmate the way I feel about this. Ugh.
That beer is not agreeing with you.
Well, it's actually Canada Dry Zero Sugar, which is fine. I got a lot to freak about, you people. I'm trying to keep it up. But no, that was just something that hit that I was just shaking my head at. So in previews, they're just saying they're not even. Well, I guess we wait. I mean, I'm looking at my email. Usually when something gets canceled, we get an email on it. I'm pretty sure as this news was dropping over the weekend, July 4th. Thank you, guys. They're probably working on it, trying to figure out just what that means, because oftentimes we're ordering these books through Discount Comic Book Service at half price. they show up on the eBays a lot of times when they first show up at half price because people blow them out. Corey and I revel in the fact we go around to all the local comic shops and occasionally find them at half price. This may be the end to that. It may also be the end to me buying omnibuses, especially if I can, as I'm wont to, I want to convert all my essentials into epics. I figure if you're going to reprint the whole thing, including the crossover pieces, I might as well just get it in color. Although I do like the way the omnibuses work. They do. They look nice. They're big. They're impressive. I was showing some of my friends yesterday my omnibus collection, and you could see their eyes just go, wow, what in hell's bells is that? I also wonder if that means you might start seeing omnibuses show up in regular bookstores. And if they do, will they be returnable? Because everything in a bookstore, one way or another, is returnable. I don't know of many bookstores that buy things non-returnable.
Most of the time, they kind of refuse to.
Yeah. Well, you know, because that's the thing. They can, if a big book's coming out, like Harry Potter meets, what's that guy from Tim, Books of Magic, whatever, Tim Hunter. And they can order 500 copies, sell 300 of them, and then send all but one of them back, you know, and then just order it as it's needed. I never got around to doing that with Hot Comics. I mean, we were getting ready to do that, but the few orders I placed, I just ordered onesie twosies. I never returned them. So I was like, but I was always thinking, you know, yeah, if Dark Horse does another Star Wars event, I could order a bunch. Here they are, 10% discount, whatever. And then whatever didn't sell, return it. But I don't know. Corey, what's your thought on this process? Do you think this will tighten up the collectability of omnibuses, or will it hurt it in the long run?
I think it's going to eventually just be another tempest in a teapot as the rollover to the new distributor happens. Comic shops, whenever there is change, always think the worst is going to happen. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. I still remember in 1983-84 in the Comic Buyer's Guide when Marvel said, hey, we're going to sell you cash registers at cost. Comic shop owners lost their minds because Marvel's trying to steal our sales data.
Well, I also remember, too, when during the distributor wars, I suddenly went from one to three distributors. My shipping costs went up.
Yeah.
So it's not all doom and gloom. You know, it's sometimes they're right. And when you know, they work on a tight margin, just like everybody else, a little more generous than some of the bigger businesses. But they're always, you know, and that was always something, too, in the 90s when I had my shop. There were people, mostly Marvel, who were really against giving out discounts. And they would run you scenarios, say, see, if you give out a 10% discount, you're losing this much. Whereas if you said for every $100, I'll give you $10, you would get this. And we're like, you really don't understand how I work at the base, do you? You know, people go from comic shop to comic shop looking for discounts. Even in Crazy Comics, I lost people because they were going online to get, you know, distributor-like discounts. So it will be, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Again, I hope if you're a local friendly neighborhood comic shop, you got your, what's the cliche? Dot your I's and cross your T's. Yep. Make sure your shoes got that little on the bottom of it.
And who knows? You know, I don't know what shipping costs are, but let's say, yeah, they do cut the discount to 40%.
Penguin allegedly said they're shipping for free.
Yeah, if the shipping ends up being more than 10%, you're saving money.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the shipping is. I don't know what the new discount's going to be. We don't have access to that yet. And the fact that people are saying, well, I've heard that. Anytime I hear I've heard that,
I doubt that Marvel
will go with a 35% discount on stuff that can't be returned. because shops would basically say, well, you've already said that at Diamond it's 50% flat across the board.
The problem is, will Penguin care? I mean, will Penguin want to set it up like, okay, we're going to do two different types of sales. People who buy like they have been through the bookstore for ages versus these 3,000 small accounts who now want no returns?
I doubt they're going to be set up for returns on regular comics.
I don't know if Penguin would necessarily go with that. But yeah, again, we'll wait and see. It might be one of the things like, well, okay, when they were talking with Penguin, this is how we work it. They are not returnable, but this is the discount you have to give. You know, and then Penguin would be like, well, we need this to make it work for us. So, oh, well, we'll see. Until the next COVID strikes and then Penguin goes out of business, then we'll really have something to talk about. Remember the good old days when Diamond just shut down and we knew they'd reopen.
Here's the thing. The numbers are showing that book sales went up last year across the board, but also for comics.
Yeah, I don't care about book sales. I'm more interested in comics.
Well, comic sales went up and book sales went up. And that means if another COVID hits, book sales are going to go up because, again, people will be in their houses. They need
but that's not fine for people with retail. I mean, you've pretty much set up your life so you never have to leave your house and you just order everything you want through Amazon. We've already had that.
I use other companies.
Amazon is killing everybody else. So, again, yeah, maybe we won't need real brick and mortar retail stores because we'll have Amazon. We can surely trust them to take care of us.
Or discount comic book service, or Tales of Wonder, or cheap graphic novels.
Well, I recall discount comic book service.
Or Dream Haven.
I recall discount comic book service going kittywampus because of COVID. So, again,
their kittywampus was more the distributors weren't sending them any books.
We'll see what happens.
I will say this: there will be another pandemic in my lifetime. Because
with the one we got now, why do you want to start a new one?
Because I'm looking at especially here in the U.S., no one learned anything. No one learned a damn thing.
I still got people at the airport, you know, because now the airport's under federal jurisdiction. Oh, I thought we didn't have to wear a mask. I said, well, yeah, but we're under federal jurisdiction. They say yes. So you're not coming through the checkpoint until you put on a mask. I'll give you one for free. If you take it off, the airlines will not let you on their plane. More importantly, you really want to come over here into this closed environment and breathe all that toxic soup that everybody's been expelling? It was up to me. Suck away. But it's not. Put on your mask. I'm not the mask police. I really don't care. If you want to walk around and suck up someone else's germs, go for it. Come get some.
Well, on another note,
I see.
I've been reading comics the last few weeks.
You sicko. I mean, oh, good.
And we will get to how I have to read them. But we have been promising people for a month now we were going to do reviews.
I know. And I have a problem.
You are a problem.
No, the problem is that all the comics I reviewed are on the other side of the Great Seal. Even as we speak, my dining room is sealed off because they're working on it. They're going to knock down the blown ceiling, knock down the 1950 wallpaper. Sometime over the next week, they're going to fix the water damage that apparently has been in the wall since before we bought the house. We've had the house over 30 years. And so I had to kind of, rather than disappoint, and you know I love disappointing Corey, I did what we've done before. I did I got four deep cuts. I couldn't find the fifth one. These are just books that most of these are books I've never read. And one of them is a book I did read and I thought I'd revisit. So we'll do something different. We'll start with Corey, end with Corey, and I'll kind of mix in between. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me.
I knew it would.
So, for my first book,
it is a book. Oh, sorry, I thought I was in pro wrestling for a minute.
It is a book from Europe Comics called Black Angel. The creators are Jan and Henriette. I know nothing about them because this is a translated European comic. It is set during the Prohibition era. It mostly takes place on the Canadian side of the border, and it is about a black female pilot who has a job flying Canadian whiskey into the U.S. I don't know if it's historically accurate in any way, shape, or form, because quite honestly, and this is not racism, this is history, I can't see anyone. First, before then, there's a reason we know Amelia Earhart, because she was one of the first women they really allowed to become a pilot. And then an African-American being a pilot, I can't see any pilot school training someone. That being said, this is a great comic. The first thing I noticed as I'm reading it is that they use a very light color palette, which shows off the art. The art, a lot of European comics seem a lot like Mobius in that they have a very thin, very delicate line to the art. And they do a lot with a little. Alex Toth was an artist who removed every line you can so that the picture is still discernible and then draw the hell out of it. And this book is a lot like that. There's not a lot of detail in the actual art. It's conveyed through the coloring, through the setting, through the art itself. Not a lot of wasted lines. It's really, really elegant. But the story itself, about this pilot, how she fought to become a pilot, why she loves being a pilot, and why she has to work for Al Capone, because she can't be a legitimate pilot with a legitimate pilot's license, so she has to work with criminals, was very well done. Only one issue is out. I have been looking on Europe Comics website. No idea when the next one will come out. It is a European book that has been going for a while. Translation is very well done. Doesn't feel like a translation. Feels like it was, you know, made here in the U.S., whereas sometimes translations can feel a little clumsy because there are a lot of translators who just put the phrase into Google Translate and drop it on the page rather than, okay, here's what the literal translation is. Now I need to turn it into a story. But the first issue's out. Absolutely beautiful. This is a buy, and I am really looking forward to more issues. I just wish that they would put more out because the first one came out, looks like, back in January. So I am still waiting for more issues. Joe?
We have talked about this book in the past, the history of it. So I'm just going to get into more of the actual story. It's a book all the way back from 1982, so I'm not going to even bother with spoilers. Marvel Superhero Contest of Champions, written by Mark Gruenwald, with art by John Romita Jr., Bob Layton. Was it Marvel's? It says here it's Marvel's first limited series. Is that true, Corey?
Yes, it is. What it was,
oh, wow.
It was supposed to be a tie-in to the 1980 Summer Olympics.
And the previous tie-in was the Batman-Hulk crossover.
The Batman-Hulk crossover was a tie-in to the Olympics?
I thought that's what it was, wasn't it?
There was a Spider-Man-Hulk treasury that tied into the Winter Olympics. But the Batman-Hulk crossover didn't tie into the Olympics. So they had the story sitting on the shelf. So now, didn't Bill Mantlo have credit in that too?
Let me open up my actual. I don't have the original. Yep, he does. He gets credit on it, although he didn't get credit in Wikipedia. Bad Wikipedia. Bad.
So what they did, they took the story and rewrote it. DC had a few miniseries. They had one in 79, World of Krypton, And then they had that Untold Secrets of Batman miniseries. So Marvel decided to jump in the miniseries too. They took the Treasury, cut it into three parts, put it out as a miniseries.
And it was really cool because, and it tied into previous stuff. Basically, the plot is that the Game Master challenges a hooded female called the Unknown and wants his brother, his fellow elder, the Collector, who was killed by Kovac back in the Avengers Kovac saga.
Yeah.
Wanted him to, wanted her to bring him back to life. And so they took various superheroes. But what they did, they took every superhero they had and threw them on this incredible gaming field. The first couple pages were a kind of a fun delight as everybody was saying hi and stuff. I mean, they had Thor talking to Icarus of the Eternals because they didn't know what's going on. Wolverine talked to Alpha Flight. Beast was talking to Sasquatch. A lot of the Iron Man was talking to Crimson Dynamo and Vanguard because they've obviously been. There was a couple where Shamrock and Great Britain kind of warily eyed each other. Iceman talked to Black Star. They had been romantically involved. Vision, Machine Man talked to each other. There was Colossus talking to, I don't know who this other Russian is. Black Panther, Captain America, the two Spider-Women, Spider-Man were talking. There's a scene where you got Black Knight, Defensor, and the Arabian Knight. They're comparing their blades. Namor. Who's the green guy in Human? I can't remember his name. Triton in Submariner. So they put all the light guys together. Xavier and Moondragon were together. And then, of course, they appear. They basically pair off in teams. Whoever gets the most of the globes win. They kind of revisited that shtick in JLA Avengers, you know, where everybody's off the thing. Eventually, it's revealed that I think the Grandmaster wins. And so he puts together the prize. It's a globe. And then the mysterious figure tells him the choice is yours. You can use the power. Sue Richard uncloaks the mysterious figure who's watching and they discover it's Death. And Death is like, you know, hey, I neglected to tell you it's a life for a life. That's the way it works. How much as the Game Master hates to be outplayed, he agreed to it. And as he left, the Collector came back. The Collector was most appalled. He left with Death, as Death was saying, you know, we have a game we could play. And all the heroes were returned. And there's a nice little thing in the back, Marvel Superheroes 1992, that kind of bring you up to date who's who and what they're doing, because, you know, God forbid anything change. And then, of course, the reason this came out, I should say I have it in a format. It's a, I don't know what the hell they call it. It's not a graphic novel. It's not a square bound, but it's $7.99, and it reprints everything in a nice comic book size package. Very easy to read.
Is it a Marvel Tales?
Mm-mm. It's just a standalone because if you remember when I talked about Night Nurse a while back, it was that same.
Oh, yeah, I remember when they did that.
Yeah,
they've now labeled those. From now on, those are going to be called Marvel Tales.
Yep. And the reason why is because they had Contest of Champions number one coming out, which was a sort of a sequel, but not really. The Collector, the Grandmaster. Well, yeah, the Collector Grandmaster put into motion another Contest of Champions using the remains of Doctor Doom's Battle World. I love this book. Because first of all, this was my golden age of being a comic reader, you know, a miniseries. Everybody's in it. Some of the heroes I remember distinctly appearing in other things. Like I think Hulk did kind of a romp through the Middle East, and one issue ran into
Arabian Night, and then Sabah.
Yeah, the next issue. So that was kind of fun. So it's kind of like you, I think these heroes were first appeared in here. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. And it was fun. It tied in everything. When the collector shows up later, you know, it makes a big deal about it. It was a neat event, but it didn't like splash across the entire universe. It wasn't 6 months of main series with 500 extra crossovers, soon to be 5 omnibuses. Just a quick, relevant crossover that they, you know, Grunwald did a great job of the characterization, especially when the guys meet, even more so when they're out fighting on their own. You know, this trope has been used before. I'm thinking old JLA, you know, split everybody up and we'll get together for the finale. It also had a couple weird tie-ins afterwards. Deadpool's Secret Wars revealed that they were there with lesser-known characters. The Grandmaster team had Rocket Racer, She-Man Thing, the Vile Tapeworm, and Frogman. Death had Deadpool, Howard the Duck, Dupe, and the Pink Sphinx. Death's team win the prize. The prize for them was a participation trophy. And then there wasn't...
And really, there was no winner. They tied.
Yeah. Avengers Annual 16 had kind of a follow-up where they said it was a ruse by the Grandmaster because he stole Death's power. They were able to, through another deception, force Death to banish them from her realm, therefore making them immortal, which I believe ties into when the Silver Surfer miniseries, after he's released from Earth, but before the whole Thanos is back. Who? We haven't used him in 20 years. Who's going to want to read about him? So, but that's the type of stuff that I absolutely love as a Marvel reader and still do to this day. If you can find a copy of this Marvel Superhero Contest of Champions, check it out. I have no idea what the eBay prices for the original are going. I'm looking to see if they – I don't have a list of how many different times they've tried to reprint it.
I know collected edition. In the last reprint – trade paperback, they had it and cost that Avengers Annual and Contest of Champions 2.
Yeah, that was Avengers the Contest. And then West Coast Avengers, they have listed West Coast Avengers 12 and Annual 16 for Avengers, but I don't think that was the entire miniseries. It might have just been tie-ins or something. And we see bits of it too. In Ragnarok, it's kind of a contest. It was a Contest of Champions. That was the name of the event that the Grandmaster was running on Sakaar. So definitely buy this one if you haven't already. Corey?
Iron Man Annual number 1. And you're probably thinking, well, haven't there been a whole bunch of Iron Man Annuals? Well, yeah, but they're starting over again. So, you know, get used to it.
You know you want it.
I really, really, really dislike that they're doing this all the time. Because the first Iron Man Annual was actually a reprint of Tales of Suspense number 71. So when you look it up, you go, wait a minute. But no, this is part of the Infinite Destinies story, which was supposed to come out last summer. And each issue of this Infinite Destinies annual crossover will introduce a new character and have something to do with the Infinity Gems, which are now Infinity Stones. After the after Secret Wars, they're now stones instead of gems. This is Iron Man versus Quantum. Iron Man finds that a whole bunch of strange people have been captured and kidnapped, much like Miles Morales was in his series, which was one of the better stories in the most recent Miles Morales book, where he is kidnapped by someone called the Assessor, who puts him through a series of tests and lets him know he will never be released. Of course, you know, he's able to escape and all. But I really liked this story. Quantum was an interesting new character, but more than that, it was a good way to kind of – one of the things I liked about the annuals when I was a kid is they felt big. They felt special, even if they were just one-shot stories, but sometimes they would continue. like the first annual I ever bought was Fantastic Four Annual number 11, which then went into Marvel 2-in-1 number 1, and then finished up in Marvel 2-in-1 number 20, which was the Fantastic Four going back, meeting the Invaders, then the Liberty Legion, and then that 2-in-1 story wrapped everything up. This very much kind of introduces you to what the new Infinity Gems are going to be like. Now that Secret Wars is over and they're kind of resetting everything. The writer is Jed McKay, who I'd never seen before. Artist is Ibrahim Robertson, both of which did a really good job on this story. The only thing is this is not self-contained because it does lead into the other ones. And there is also a backup of Nick Fury. With Nick Fury as agent of Nothing and Phil Coulson as agent of Mephisto. And it's about the first time that Coulson came back from the dead. And he and Nick Fury facing off. It's going to be an 8-part story in the back. So while this is a buy, you're not going to get the entire story for the entire book. So that's a little caveat that if you're not interested in buying 8 more annuals, you may want to pass. But I thought it was a good Iron Man story. I liked the character, the Assessor, and I liked how it was used in this book. And kind of story starts in one book, is followed up in the next, not continued into the next, just, oh, here's this new villain. Is it okay if I use it? Which I wish Marvel did more of. Joe?
All right. The next one I'm really confused on. But as I bought it cheap and I read it, and it does lead to better things, but there is a caveat on it. This is from Image, 2001, Dave Dorman's Rail, Broken Things. This was a anticipated one-shot by Dave Dorman. The art is stunning. It's kind of a almost a introduction to his Wastelands world. Let's see, you got the archetypical hero Edgar Wallace comes off. He's kind of like a pulp gunfighter. There's an iguana and technocrat robber baron, Mr. Grin, steampunk Mad Max type makeover of an Arthurian legend. It's just an introduction. It reads like half of a graphic novel. And the art is incredible. It's easy to tell what's going on, who's going on. You don't get a real taste for who everybody is because they don't really go in depth to who everybody is. But you just kind of got to go along with it. Now, at the end of it, there is a introduction to the Wastelands. And they basically are saying this is kind of leading into first of many stories set in the Wastelands. So visit www.wastelands.com. Don't do it! Whatever wastelands.com was, it's now a femdom bondage site. So Dave Dorm obviously decided not to go that way. He has gone other ways, though, because there are like an omnibus. There's been lots of books and hardcovers written by him. So if you do find this, and you should be able to find this in like a dollar bin somewhere. Read it. If it's any interest, you're going to go over into the hardcovers, because I do not believe he ever revisited this in the comic world again. Don't go to the website unless you're into that type of stuff. So again, if you choose to buy it cheap. If you just want to go out and look for the hardcovers, I've never read any of the hardcovers, but, you know, again, it's Dave Dorman, Mike Baldwin's. Let's see. The first hardcover I found was Wastelands Omnibus. Let's see. What are they priced? They're priced about $24. Then there's a Well, they did have a Facebook page, but it doesn't look like anybody's been there in a while. Let's see. He's been Amazing Tales number 1. So again, I don't know if he's still working on it or not. The premise is good for the little bit that I've seen, but the fact there's no active website, There's no real follow-up. The things I'm finding, because when I Googled it, it's leading me to Amazon and some other places to go. I'm just going to take a peek on his Wikipedia page and see if nope, there's not even a Wikipedia. The Wasted Lands Wikipedia reference, much like our own, Corey, does not exist. So, again, if somebody else knows more about Dave Dorman's Rail, I would we're always game to listen to what you think of it. Dave Dorman, if you're out there, give us a call. We'll talk about it. As far as, like I said, the rail thing, if you're interested, pick up a cheap copy somewhere. Otherwise, you could probably ignore it. Next.
I have read the first three trade paperbacks, and that's all there are right now, of Greg Rucka and Nicholas Scott's Black Magic from Image. Black Magic is actually a very simple premise. A modern Wicca type practicing witch is also a homicide detective, and complications ensue. The Rucka is very good at your strong lead females. Nicholas Scott draws this book. This book has been going for about, 4 years, 5 years, and they've got three trade paperbacks out. None of them are really self-contained in that it does kind of wrap up a part of a story, but it leaves so much open for the next. This is one where you may want to wait until it is all done. Nicholas Scott's art is improving in leaps and bounds. The first trade paperback, her stuff was very stiff. Her characters all looked very posed. Nobody looked like they were in motion. But I did like the fact that it was all very sepia toned. It was color, but not really. Color was not being used except once or twice when magic stuff would happen, which gives the series a specific tone. There's a lot thrown out in that first trade paperback that is still echoing on. There are long gaps between each trade paperback, but there are also time leaps between each trade paperback. I am a huge fan of Rucka's work. I like his mysteries. The mysteries he has set up in this series are solid. There is a feeling of menace, a feeling that things are steamrolling towards something. The characters are well drawn and interesting. And Nicholas Scott's art is getting better as it goes through. However, one of the problems I have is huge gaps. I sat down, read the whole thing last week. First issue came out in 2016, I think. And the last issue came out earlier this year. And there have only been three trade paperbacks. So it's taking a long time. The stories are continued. It's very easy. If I were reading this as it came out, I would have lost the thread years ago and have to go back and reread to see what's going on. And that's one of the, that's why I'm putting it as a borrow. The book is really good, but it takes a long time between stories. And when it gets those long gaps, sales aren't that great. So I always wonder, are they going to be able to finish this? And if they're not going to be able to finish it, that would be yet another book I have where it went so far and then, sorry, that's all there is. Well, what about all the different plot threads in the story? Nope, that's it. That's all. So I'm putting it as a borrow until it is complete, Joe.
All right. I found a copy of JLA Wildcats, which was, let me find the details here. This was done in 1997, a crossover between DC and Aegis Entertainment, although that was still, it was still when the whole Jim Lee stuff was still under the Image logo. Art by Val Semekis. Thank you. And this is not a bad crossover. Again, I found this cheap, so you know, don't spend too much money looking for it. essentially, it's a prestige format. In other words, square bound, not like the Marvel Tales we talked about earlier. It's a one shot. Select member of JLA, DC's JLA and Wildstorm's Wildcats team up to stop the Lord of Time from destroying parallel time streams and gaining unfathomable power. Just to make it interesting, this is Grant Morrison. They failed. No superhero team up is complete without a misunderstanding, a fight between the heroes. Grant Morrison delivers. The art is very good by Val. You get a battle royal between Superman, Mr. Majestic, Batman against Grifter, Wonder Woman against Zealot, Flash against the Void, Green Lantern against Maul. The concepts, as Grant Morrison is wont to do, are just amazingly wild. You just go through it and you're thinking, how in hell's bells are they going to pull this one off? I don't know. This sucker came out in 1997. I guess I can say they do. But again, I also said Time Lord, Lord of Time wins. How does that happen? I would definitely put this one on the buy category. Originally, it was only $5.95. You should be able to find copies cheap. I found this in a dollar bin, and I'm glad I picked it up. You know, it's from the era of Grant Morrison's JLA, so Superman's in his blue energy deal. So I'll give you an idea of what's going on. I don't know. I read both Wildcats. I read Morrison's JLA. And if I was a fan of either one of these two at the time, this would have been just a lot of fun. The art isn't super hyper kinetic, super crossover. It's still pretty readable. And again, anytime Grant Morrison's at the helm, you just sit down, strap in, and, you know, just don't even think about the concepts he's throwing out at you. Just accept them because they make sense. I love that about all of his stuff. Like, he just did the run on Brain Fart, Green Lantern. And some of the, you know, was it two seasons and a miniseries? And the whole time I'm going along, I'm just like, I don't really know what's going on. But when he says it, it makes sense, and I'm just going with that. When you go back and you think about it, you're like, wow, what he just wrote there doesn't really make any sense, but it does because of the context of what the story is doing. And sometimes you're like, you know, maybe I want to go back and visit this concept a little bit more. I felt the same way when he was doing DC 1 Million. You know, some of the stuff he came up with is just mind-boggling. So, again, just on the premise, Grant Morrison writes it, pick it up, two fun teams, and like I said, it's cheap reading. I think that's pretty much all my stuff this week, theme cheap reading. So definitely buy this one if you can find it. I don't know if it ever got reprinted. Did they? I don't know. I have to look. Sometimes they did a reprint of, like, crossovers. I don't know. I don't think this one ever was, because I don't see it, that it was reprinted anywhere else. So you'll have to find the prestige format and go for it. Corey?
The next one I have is Stargirl Spring Break Special by Jeff Johns and Todd Knock. This is kind of a pilot for the new Stargirl and possibly a JSA series by Jeff Johns. Jeff Johns is one of those writers who just really is able to take the confusing DC continuity and turn it into good stories without making you go, well, what about when, and then, and nope, he picks up kind of where he left off with Stargirl, which has been turned into a series that started on DC Universe, then went over to the CW, and now is the CW series that will be rerunning on HBO Max. But it captures the fun of a teenage superhero, which is one of the things that DC lacks. Not teenage superheroes, but fun. Most of the books at DC, even the ones I like, are not fun. They're very serious. Everything at DC is serious. Remember, we had that long period where there are no, you know, there's no laughter, there's no smiles in Batman. And it's spread over to everything where everybody looks very serious and no one has any fun and nothing is funny. Well, this is funny. this is fun. This is lighthearted. It has a bit of a serious tone in that it does sort of bring back the JSA into the current DC continuity and sets up for an upcoming series. But the thing I liked the most about this was the characters had personality. The superhero stuff was serious without overwhelming us with, oh no, everything is doom and gloom and death and destruction. And it reminded me of what I liked about DC pre-52. The fact that they have a legacy going back even before World War II. The fact that Geoff Johns is able to draw on that legacy, not to bog the story down, but to give it a little extra fun, and so that the characters, you understand who the characters are, and it gives them more of a background and more of a reason for what they do. And Todd Knock's art has always had that really playful manga style. It's hard for me to believe that he has been drawing comics for almost 25 years, because his stuff still looks very fresh and very new, and he's always been excellent at drawing younger heroes. His time doing Young Justice, his stuff over at Marvel on the younger heroes, he just has that knack. It reminds me a lot of Mike Waringo, who was able to bring that, and his younger characters actually look like younger characters rather than just short adults. He understands that, no, teenagers look different from adults. They're a little more gangly. They're more elbows and knees, and Johns is so good at capturing that personality that makes a character, even a character who's on the surface unlikable, you understand why you like them. Just a fun book all the way around. As I said, when Geoff Johns' exclusivity ended, anybody with any brains would throw enormous amounts of money at this guy, because he can really... Other than his run on the Avengers, which I didn't like, he hasn't put out a book that I hate. Even the books that kind of fall apart, like Doomsday Clock, which fell apart because of DC editorial. If you read it on its own, it's very, very good. So this one gets a buy, and I will probably be recommending the series that spins out of it, just like I'm recommending our friends over at NordVPN, like this. Our newest sponsor is NordVPN. Let's be honest, if you're out on the internet, you need a VPN to protect you. There's all sorts of things going on the internet where people can track you, you could accidentally download a keylogger, all sorts of things. NordVPN gives the best security possible. It has a password manager, which generates complex passwords, syncs across all your devices, stores your notes and credit card information. It also gives you 10 gigabytes of private cloud storage, secure files that backs up your data automatically. But the main thing it gives you is peace of mind. It gives you peace of mind when you're out on the internet, when you're streaming, when you're playing games, when you're listening to podcasts like this one. It gives you safety anywhere at any time. It protects your online activity. You get full access to all content. And if you use the link go.nordvpn.net, SH3KU, it'll take you to where you can get a great deal for a one-month plan, a two-year plan, a one-year plan. They are our newest sponsor. We're happy to have them. And if you would like to sponsor something here at any of the podcasts on the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email me, solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. Or I am recommending these other podcasts I do. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, KRAYZCOMIX, is Solitaire Rose Radio, these solo radio podcasts that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed.
I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks. You know what else I'm recommending, Joe?
Are you recommending that everybody go to One Crazy Summer Con Saturday, July 31st at the Mermaid Entertainment and Events Center, 2200 Mounds View Boulevard, Mounds View, Minnesota? It'll be $5 to get in. A lot of local creators and local vendors and stuff. MidwestComicBookFans.com. And as we broke here first, and now it's breaking all over the webs, creating waves wherever it goes, the Fall Con will be September 25th at the Grandstand in the State Fair Fairgrounds. If you are want to buy a ticket as a retailer, well, basically, if you're a creator and need to get a table, get a hold of them now. If you're a vendor and want to sell stuff, get a hold of them now. If you have stuff you want to donate to the charity booth, which I will be running, get a hold of me now, and we'll go have some fun. So, yeah, we broke it. It's all over the way, all over the internet.
Somebody
the
needs
internet
to
sensation.
Fix it.
Yep. And it'll be started at One Crazy Summer Con on the 31st. So I won't be there. As you know, I'll be going cross country with my daughter, getting her out to Reno. So I'll talk about that in a bit.
By the way, if you do go over to the fairgrounds and you're not interested in the convention, there is also the Western Saddle Club Horse Show that week and the State 4-H Dog Show.
Oof. So busy weekend. Get there early. Get a parking spot. Come get some.
I'm looking, trying to find if Half Price Book of Magazine's going to do their regular sale. Because they didn't do it last year, but they have not set it up for this year yet.
If they do, it might be later. Because usually they do it.
Boy, there is a lot of horse shows.
They do it in the spring.
They did it in the fall the last two times.
No, because we had the Grandstand in the fall. Right. They do it in the Grandstand. They couldn't do it.
You had the Grandstand in the spring.
No, we have the Grandstand in the fall.
This year, but in previous years.
That's why they probably won't get it. But if they do it, they'll have to go look in October, because that's usually when they would do it.
There is the book festival in the Progress Center.
I think that's different.
That's something different.
That's
Oktoberfest is there in October.
Well, that's always there. There is a comic show, of course. Twin Cities Con is putting one on. Let me fire up the old Grade 3000.
Grade-rometer.
Let's see. Twin Cities Con. And they're going to have theirs. Oh, I got to follow their website now, because they're announcing all sorts of guests and people that are going. Just like our good buddy at Mind's Eye had the Blue Ranger, the original Blue Ranger, the Red Ranger, John Austin St. John will be there. Let's see. Twin Cities Con will be at the Minneapolis Convention Center October 2nd and 3rd. And you can buy tickets right now, a non-VIP pass for 25% off if you want to go. This con's a little different than the MCBFs, where they're actually going to have tons of guests and things like that. So it'll be Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. If my schedule holds the way it will, I will probably get to go on Sunday. But we'll see. That's all in the future. In the future.
In the year 2000.
Which was almost 20 years ago. We're getting old.
And that's not what I was saying that people should be.
It wasn't?
No, it's your eBay site.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Well, let's see what's going on in here, eBay. Here, lots of fun stuff here. Yeah, sales have been cranking away, slow but steady. And some of the things I've mentioned in the past are gone. I sold a copy of Katie Keene, number 17, from 1986. Katie Keene, this is actually considered the second series. The first series was called Katie Keene's, where'd it go? Special. And it went seven issues. It's from Archie, from 83 to 84. And then, you know what they did, Corey? They just renamed it Katie Keene, Archie Romance Series. And it went all the way up to issue 33 until it stopped. They had actually brought her back in the current line of Archie that kind of disappeared during COVID and has never come back, and they never quite finished the storyline. Romance comics, what can you say? The cover had take your chance, buddy. This could be your lucky day. Meanwhile, he's armed with Katie Keene and he's going, today is my lucky day. I'm with Katie. And Katie's looking back at him like, you idiot. No, I don't know. She's got a happy look on her face. So and then, of course, the other thing was on the bottom. And this is just the cover. You know, Katie's outfit by Shanna Lewis of Ontario, Canada. Arnold's outfit by David Harris, Miami, Florida. So I thought that was kind of neat. You know, draw an outfit and they will put it in the book. So let's see what came up next. I sold an omnibus. I know. I decided.
What? Was it the Squadron Supreme?
It was, because I have the second version, which has a lot of the other that what's in the first one. The first one basically contains all of Mark Grunwald's Tour de Force, the miniseries, the Captain America crossover, and of course the Squadron Supreme Marvel graphic novel. Whereas the current one contains just a little bit more. And since I'm
just a little bit more,
just being
it's like twice as big.
It is. And I'm like, you know what? As cool as it looks on the shelf to have two of them, I'm also through the great graphic novel Sort and Purge, which I haven't done anything with because it's been, well, we'll talk about it when we get to freaking. I figured there's no reason to have two of them. And as it was still sealed, I basically half priced it, and somebody took me up on the offer. So see, could have been you. Let's see what other goodies we sold. Star Wars Darth Vader number 3, the current series. Are you reading this series at all, Corey?
I wait till it's done.
That's probably good. What was fun about this, and you might want to put your fingers in your ear because I don't want to give it away. Darth Vader is on a plot. You know, he basically, as he's doing whatever he's doing, discovering whatever he's discovering, and this is taking place now between Empire and Return, first series we're taking before, he suddenly runs into Padme. And he's like, what? That's all I'm going to say, because Darth Vader 3 deals with it. I found for some reason I had two copies, 3 and 4, so I put them both on the eBays. I sold a copy of Superman 97. No, not the 1955 one. The 1977 Pizza Hut Collector Edition version. They came out with 3. Obviously, you went to Pizza Hut and ate. I never got these originally because I wasn't eating Pizza Hut at the time, unless somebody else was buying. Pretty much, I think it was the comic story itself. And then the back, they got a nice ad for, this is a limited edition Pizza Hut Collector Series comic book. And they said they're identical to the original, except with the paid advertising. Who do you think paid for it? Pizza Hut. These are kind of fun stuff. They don't do a lot of these now. I don't know if it's because nobody cares about comics. Well, we do.
Well, Pizza Hut doesn't really Because remember, Pizza Hut also used to have that thing where if you would read so many books, you would get a free personal pan pizza. They've pretty much phased out of that because they don't have as much in-store dining. Yeah. So what it is, comics were like, here's something for the kids to do while they're waiting for a pizza.
Yeah, I was shocked. I saw one the other day, and you know, I think it was down in Hastings Way. But yeah, I mean, in high school, that was kind of the place we'd go. It was like a Rockefeller's video arcade game right there where the source was Kitty Corner on Snelling and Larpenter. And so that would be Friday night. You go there, spend 20, 30 bucks and quarters. And then we go over to Pizza Hut, have a salad, order a large pizza, because this was before they were really pushing the personal pizzas. And I've talked a lot about in college how I'd get the ad out of the Minnesota Daily, go to Dreamhaven Books, who was in Dickeytown at the time, pick up a few comics, go over to Pizza Hut, get a free salad bar, one drink, and a personal pizza. And, you know, you get it for like $5.99 with the coupon, $9.99 otherwise. So good eating there. From Dana's collection that she gave me, I sold a copy of Batman City of Owls Volume 2. She had Volume 1 and 2, never bought 3 because she was not interested, said it kind of fall flat. She really wasn't paying attention to it. No offense to Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, but you didn't have my daughter's interest. So the first graphic novel is like a $5 book. The second and third are harder to find, so I priced this one accordingly because it was very fine, near mint. Did you read Batman City of Owls at all, Corey?
I have not. I have not read the Scott Snyder Batman yet.
Okay, so we can't really talk.
I have the omnibus.
Oh, someday.
We'll talk about that.
Let's see. From 1956, I did have a copy of Marge's Little Lulu from Dell. This is just one of those I must have picked up somewhere during a dollar sale. Read it, enjoyed it, moved it on. I had a miniseries. A variant cover. X-Men number 4. The third series from 2010 on the cover has Gambit and Elektra pairing off. I am pretty damn sure that's not happening on the inside because, after all, it is a variant cover, although that would be an interesting story, possibly. Let's see. I think everything else we've already talked about. I did sell a couple X-Men Wolverine bookmarks from 1994. This was back when Marvel took over their own distributing, and they also decided to put as much as they could on as much as they can, even though it had nothing to do with anything. The X-Men cartoon was out, so people knew it. I remember, what did I have? Bookmarks, mugs, ties, bolos. We did toys, obviously, toys and comics. But boy, if it was something that Marvel could put their figure on, their character on, they would do it. Nowadays, it's common because Spider-Man, Avengers. I mean, it's weird. X-Men are the lesser known properties. Back then, nobody knew who X-Men was outside of people watching the cartoon and comic shop. So things change. They change all the time. Not me, though. I'm sitting here shirtless in my basement putting stuff on eBay, as Corey was talking about his review. So if you want to see the new stuff, and I'll save it for geeking, but I actually had some fun news for a while. You know where to go. Crazy. KRAYZ. Come get some.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I stand next to the air conditioner with my shirt over the vent so that I just blow tons of cold air into me.
Oh, I'll do that after the podcast is done.
No, it's Freaking a Geeking Joe. What are you freaking on?
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. It's okay when you're with a woman, but it's no good when you're outside trying to sort graphic novels. So basically, I haven't done anything. I did. I'll talk about why I had to take down one of my graphic novel tables on Geeking. But because I did that, I actually put everything, balanced it. You see where I'm going. It fell over. Oh, graphic novels everywhere. It was a terrible. Well, fortunately, nothing got damaged. But I got my table back. I packed everything up. I've been finding onesie twosies all over the house. Did they ever come out with a third Mage hardcover?
Not yet.
Bastards. So I've got 1 and 2. I don't have 3. So
I'm bugging him about it every few months.
Oh, good man.
He says it's coming.
Get on it. Here's your chance. Marvel's canceling all their omnibuses. Pick up the slack. Oh, we're giving away $1 million ideas. I guess I got to dwell in the gigging. We had an outdoor party yesterday. It's been 90 degrees. I already bitched about the weather. So when we're done, first thing you want to do, wash the dishes, take a shower. Can't. Our water heater died. Son of a building block. Like my wife exasperatedly said, every time we have a get together, something F's up. I won't say the F word, even though we know we're explicit. But so now
we're not going to do it because Ronan's listening.
Yeah, we like Ronan. We want you on the podcast. Ask your dad if he can be one of our guests.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't want him hearing us say the word fuck all the time.
What? That's fucking crazy. Well, there, I do got to say, so I thought, hey, let's take a cold shower. It's hot. I'm sweaty. Nah, ice water is not a fun thing to take a cold shower in. I did sponge myself off. But as I said, you know, our house now, we had our bedroom painted. We had our bathroom repainted. Now they're into the living room. The living room is going to be messy because they have to take down the blown ceiling, which I think is done because I don't know if you could hear it in the background. Every so often you'd hear thump, thump. And then when he takes it down, he's going to clean it up, and then they're going to start working. They got to tear the 1970s wallpaper down, which I absolutely love, but my wife hates with a passion. And more importantly, though, some of it was coming off by itself because we have water damage behind it. We put a new roof on our home after I sold Hot Comics in 2001. So I'm pretty sure – actually, I think the roof went on 2002. I'm pretty sure the roof – has stopped leaking, but the damage remains. So they got to go in and check out the sheetrock, see if it needs to be patched up or replaced. Messy, messy work. But what it is the dining room is kind of the key to the house. It's one of those 1920s houses. To get to my bedroom, bathroom, I have to go through the dining room. For the kids to get out the door, they have to go through the dining room. To get to my living room, I have to get to the dining room. So when it's sealed off, we're pretty much where we are. And fortunately, I'm in the basement doing my podcast, but I just hope I don't have to, hit the restroom or anything. Then again, I do have a floor drain, and I got one of them really, really old concrete tubs, you know, nothing will ever go wrong with it except the real thin metal legs that it's on. So I'm doing okay. And I'm still got a little Canada Dry Zero Sugar Ginger Ale left. One of the games I used to love playing on my phone was called Simpsons Tapped Out. I'm rather annoyed with these boys because right now I can't play the game. Every so often they decide to just throw you out and, you know, usually you tap the button, you go into your game. Then they decided, you know, just randomly, oh, well, you've been signed out of your game. Why? I didn't ask for that. I've been playing the damn thing three times a friggin' day. Why would you sign me out? Okay, we'll just sign in your email. Unfortunately, the email I use is from an email that I got rid of a long time ago, like probably 2014. And I don't have access to it because the company that it sold to and it sold to and it sold to, let's just say it's unavailable, which sucks because it was a great, it was great. Crazy@isd.net. Very simple, very easy. No gmail.com, no crazycomics@. And I loved it, but eventually, like everything, it just got so 90% of it was spam. So I just converted everything. Unfortunately, I would never converted these guys because it always worked. Why am I complaining so bitterly about it? Because now they have two-step verification in case you want to hijack my Simpsons Tapped Out account. Why? No idea. So I can't send myself an email with the code to get in because I can't get to that email, which doesn't exist anymore. I did get a hold of EA Games, and they had somebody online who worked me through it, set it up on my current email. Problem is, they're having problems sending out passcodes. Why? Well, because they did this to everybody playing any EA game possible, and they have lots of games. So everybody now has been kicked out of their games, and when they go to go in, they have to be sent a passcode that expires in 10 minutes. Problem is, it's taking them 4 hours to get you the passcode. Folks, remember what I said earlier about Rockefeller's $20, $30 a week? I don't mind spending game money on freemium games. And Corey can probably tell you, we've been playing Tapped Out for a long time. I got a lot of stuff built into my home. Matter of fact, I was or home, my Simpsons world. It's part Sim City, part Quest. Matter of fact, they're in the middle of a quest now, which is annoying because I can't get on there. And I was about ready to drop another $20 because they got one of those deals. Buy $20 of donuts, we'll give you like 50% extra donuts. Not now, boneheads. I can't get on your freaking game. Ugh. And really, I don't have any games on my phone right now. Most of the games I've either tired of, like the one Wild Frontier I was playing. It's a battle game where you build a city and then the guys who are super powerful come and wipe you out. You know, I got wiped out again. I was 5 minutes late missing my shield because, you know, sometimes nature is busy and calls. I come back and this guy's already zeroed out my town, you know. Why am I spending money doing that if they just allow this dumbass who spends way more money than me to wipe me out? Most battle games are that way. You try to get on, you try to be a new player, and they just find you and they wipe you out. Sometimes the developers get it and they will allow, they'll say, hey, don't do that, or they'll warn the person doing it. Most of the time they don't, because this is a person who probably spends $100 a day or week on the game because they're super powerful. It's annoying. Folks, if you got a phone game you like to play, let me know, because I got nothing right now. You know, everything I go to is pretty much the same. Maybe that's just the problem with phone games. You know, they're all freemium games, but as you read the reviews, eventually, well, I get to a place where it's so hard, you have to spend money, and that's when I check out. And I'm not really into that. I mean, if the game's good, I might, but if you're going to make me do it, no, I don't like to be told what to do. Okay, I was just checking because I want to make sure my wife wasn't here. That's pretty much all I'm freaking on. Corey, what are you freaking on?
I can't see poor shit.
Oh, don't. That's not chocolate cake. I know it feels like it, but it's not.
The issue I have with my eyes, I had cataract surgery about 2 years ago. And starting about, 4 months ago, I think, things started to get blurry. Well, they're getting blurrier and blurrier to the point now where one of the things I like to do when everything's calm and everything's quiet, I'll have a movie or a documentary or wrestling on TV, and I'll do some adult coloring. Well, my vision is so bad now that I can't really do it, because most of the stuff for adults is, okay, you know, it's very small. Well, the lines are blurry. And if the lines are blurry, you're going to go outside the lines. Or if things are blurry, you can't tell if you've completely colored in something. So when I look at it a couple hours later, it's like, wow, there's a whole lot of little white specks in there where I missed everything. So I've had to put that aside. I can't read actual books or actual comics at this point, because they're all blurry. When I do stuff on a computer, it still works. When I read stuff on my Kindle or my tablet, it still works. But the other thing about it, I've noticed I'm sleeping more because that eye strain is just exhausting. So what was it? Saturday. I had Saturday off. They were going to have me do an overnight. So Saturday, I woke up, watched a movie, did some podcast stuff, and then my eyes were just, you need to lay down and go to sleep. And I did the mystery nap, where I didn't set an alarm or anything, because I didn't have to be at work till 9 at night. So I laid down at noon. I woke up around 4. And even driving into work, it's like, man, I am so tired. This is going to be great. I'll lay down. I'll sleep. Well, no, it was more like a nap, because I woke up around 4 in the morning because I'd slept so much on Saturday. Yesterday, kind of the same thing. Today, I'm forcing myself to be awake because I work tomorrow. But just walking around the house, making food, doing anything. Everything's really blurry. I know that, I'm 4 weeks away from getting one eye fixed and 5 from the other. I just hope that it goes fast. The good thing is, when I wear my glasses for driving, I'm fine. It's detail stuff that I'm no good at. So reading exhausts me. Reading, I actually have decided I can't watch any foreign films because the subtitles get blurry and that exhausts me. So Other than going to work, I'm probably not going to go much anywhere than the gym, grocery store, and work so that I don't wear my eyes out. Comic-wise, Marvel's switch over to the new distributor, which we talked about a little earlier, is a mess. Joe talked to a shop owner. I've read other shop owners who are like, we really don't know what the hell's going on. We're going to keep your orders. We're going to switch them over. But boy, it's really messy. What about books that, you know, because they switch over in October. Well, what happens if a book is late? Will that come from Diamond or will it come from Penguin? We don't know. Marvel's not telling them. I know that the next previews is where everything's going to be with the new distributor. So hopefully people get information then. But Marvel's had a long time to get this going. So hopefully they're going to step up, help the retailer. I think this could be a good thing. I really do. And the fact that Marvel will be available through Diamond, will be available through Lunar, I think is a good thing. Diamond has shown, Diamond does good things for shops, but Diamond also does bad things for the industry. So the communication coming out, and I don't know how much of this is just comic retailers bitching because comic retailers like to bitch, but we shall see. Joe, what are you geeking on?
We had a party for my daughter yesterday. That's what we did on July 4th. A lot of hiccups. We went to Hy-Vee to get our, basically we spent a lot of money, meat tray, veggie tray, fruit tray, buns, cheeses. They didn't have it ready. It took an hour. You know, we figured get there at 3 o'clock. We bring everything out. We lay it out. Chris was seething beyond belief. And I said, well, you know, you probably want to let the managers know because, you know, the people at the ground level did the best they can. Somebody effed up. When you're dropping, you know, $200-$300 on this shit, I'm sure they want to make sure you're getting it right. So she's hot about that. And, you know, I'm more annoyed. I'm happy because now I got plenty of fixings to, you know, if I want to go have myself a quick sandwich or something. Although, Corey, if you like potato salad, I'll bring you over 2 pounds of it. We ordered a pound of it and they gave us 3. If you like coleslaw, do the same. I mean, seriously, I'll jump in that car and I'll drive out to Chaska because, I mean, I was telling everybody eats potato salad. I don't like it. I don't care. Put it on your plate.
I don't know how to break this to you, Joe. No one likes coleslaw.
Oh, I love coleslaw. Potato salad, I can't stand. If I'm going to waste my carbs, I want to be in on something fun like potato chips. So, okay, I'll bring you a potato salad. I'll tell Chris, we're getting in the car as soon as you're home with your new hair. We're going over pre-shower. We'll give Corey our potato salad. Make room, Corey. It's not pie. It's potato salad. Seriously, if you want some potato salad, I'll bring it over.
Make it into a pie.
No, I don't want to heat the house up, you know, because it's hot outside. So that's why, you know, I'm sitting thinking, yeah, I won't shower today. I'll just have a, you know, and I did shower the night before. So this hot water heater thing hit fast. But so that was kind of fun seeing old friends, seeing new friends. People were really nice to Dana in terms of getting her some ching in order to go. So she's all excited. She's ready to rock. Like I said, Corey's ready to rock. We'll have some fill-in podcasts while I'm on the road. Corey will have a week or two off to get his podcast up and going. I'll believe that when I'm listening to him. Actually do that because we'll download him and listen to him. Other than that, that was pretty much fun. I'll take a quick side note. Corey, what'd you do on the 4th?
I actually, because I'd had that overnight shift, I got home. Watched a few movies, watched some really crappy movies, and one really fun crappy movie. I watched Wolf Cop, made in Saskatchewan, which is the best alcoholic werewolf police officer fighting changelings movie ever to come out of Saskatchewan. I think I broke Joe.
I'm trying to decide if I want to do that or just go to the Facebook page, Comic Panels Out of Context, and just ignore you. I haven't decided yet.
But nope, that's what I did.
Cool. What you geeking on? What else you geeking on, Corey?
I read on my tablet the first 12 issues of the New Guardians of the Galaxy series by Al Ewing, which was one of those things that I didn't know I needed until I read it. He basically goes back to the Guardians of the Galaxy group we had during the Annihilation series, because there were characters in that that just kind of were kind of not using them anymore because they aren't in the movie. Nope, he brought them in. He updated the situation, and he really, one of the things that I like that people are doing now is they're doing new type cosmic stories that do not just rehash what Jim Starlin did in the 70s. He's adding new stuff. He's the one who did the Ultimates and some other stuff. And really, until he did Immortal Hulk, he was the guy who, he does really cool stories that nobody buys and the books get canceled. But the first 12 issues of the New Guardians of the Galaxy series was really a lot of fun. Brought back some good memories of that Annihilation series and the stuff they did with characters. And is the only person other than Grant Morrison who's used the new Marvel Boy well. To the point where Marvel Boy is one of my favorite characters at Marvel right now because he's just so odd and so fun. I am almost done with Future's End, reading that on a tablet as well. And it was set 5 years later in the New 52. None of the stuff in it is going to come to pass. None of it was tied into anything that was going on. The story itself is okay, but the reason I'm geeking on it is because over the weekend, on social media, a lot of the people who were involved in the New 52, for some reason, decided they were going to talk about how much fun they had working on it. And they spilled a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot of the reasons why we saw the things we did, some things that, and it sounds like there were some books where editorial said you're going to do this, and you could add on to that, and other books where editorial would get a pitch and go, okay, we'll go with that. And the problem is, well, that can be fun for the creators. It's also kind of why things fell apart because, oh, we're going to keep using all of this from pre-New 52. But this character who's tied in with all this back stuff, nope, they're getting a new fresh start. And it's the same thing that caused headaches in Crisis. So I think one of the things that comes out of it, I hope if anybody does a future reboot, you have to do a complete reboot. You can't say, okay, we're rebooting all except this character, this character, this character, this character, and this storyline that's going to be going for another 12 months, and this story that's going to be going for another 6 months, because it causes headaches down the line. And one of the things that I found most interesting is how they tried and tried and tried to fix all the headaches behind the scenes, but nobody really could because editorial would veto everything. But I always like finding that behind-the-scenes stuff. And the new previews came in. I can't read it really well, but I always like when new previews comes in. It is for September, so it looks like Marvel's got a lot of stuff in September. The new DC previews, at least it's in print. And this is not going to be a budget-breaking month, which is also a good thing. TV-wise... All Elite Wrestling is back on Wednesdays, which they've been on Fridays and Saturdays for the last month or so. I like it better on the Wednesdays because then, I don't know. It seems to fit better. And I hate when shows move around a lot. One of the reasons why Monday Night Raw does so well is it's always on Monday night. I also have quit watching Monday Night Raw because it's just so boring. So that frees up 3 hours on my DVR. But SmackDown, which is on Fox, is fantastic. It's a fast-moving show. The stories make sense. And everything behind the scenes is because Fox cut once information ahead of time, so they can't change it one of the things with Raw is Vince McMahon will change it all the way up to when the show starts. With SmackDown, Fox wants to know, and they won't let them change it all the way up to. And also, Fox has told them they want it to be more sports-based. They don't want a lot of backstage stuff. They don't want a lot of, you know, vignettes filmed elsewhere. They want it all to be in the ring. And you can tell that the show is better because of it. So MLW, Major League Wrestling, is coming back. Ring of Honor is doing a really good show. And everybody, all the wrestling companies, are going to be in front of crowds again. Starting in July, First Avenue has opened again, starting with shows from the suburbs. So things are opening up. There's even a concert that I may go to in September, even though in my head it's still, oh, do I really want to go inside a closed? Look, I've been vaccinated.
Is it the Monkees? Because we're going to the Monkees concert.
It's not the Monkees. It's the Dolly Rots. But with the Monkees, one of the things they've been playing on Underground Garage, the new album isn't a Monkees album. It is Mickey Dolenz Sing Songs by Michael Nesmith.
Yep.
So I thought of you when I saw that. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half.
Cool.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most, Joe. All
right. This should take a few seconds, but right now, I've got the time machine. I'm going to travel back in time, change history. You'll know I succeeded if Germany loses World War II and Wednesday comes after Thursday. I'm back. Did it work?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. I wish I had thought of something better than just those two things. Oh, well. Corey, hit my music.
Done, bitches!